Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Give us a 5-star rating. It massively helps us out. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pitchside, and let's do some due diligence before we start. Recently, the support on the pod has been absolutely amazing, so for those that are listening and still with us, I'd just like to say thank you before we start. What's wrong with that?
Fucking soppy man.
We never say thank you.
You've just gone down in my books. Do you know how much hate I get? Do you know? Do you know what it's like to live my life?
Yeah.
Every time I go on TikTok and look at the comments on YouTube, I'll say some good points and I'll still get hated on.
Yeah, but if we promote positivity, then people will approach our show with a positive outlook.
There's no way that happens.
It is.
The people talk.
Anyway, cheers for the support, and thanks for Rory for supporting us as well, joining us again.
You're welcome. Thanks for supporting me.
It's a great weekend to be an
Arsenal
fan.
People talking Rory talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice one. Great weekend to be an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, Spurs are in the mud.
Oh, I meant for our club.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the old 4-1 Rooney.
4-1 Rooney. No, I'm not being funny, yeah? New manager bounce. I was a little bit scared.
Yeah, I was.
But if there's going to be a team that's going to defeat the new manager bounce, it will be the club that will win the Premier League. Arsenal Football Club, the only team this season to beat the new manager bounce.
Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Talk us through it, Rory, because you were actually at the game.
I was.
And you were speaking to me before we started this, and you said it all just seemed a little bit comfortable.
It felt a bit casual. Like, everyone's casual. Talking about 11 cup finals. Mm. Arteta said we got 11 cup finals. But it felt like a cup final in terms of like intensity, but not in terms of tension.
Difficulty.
Yeah, it just didn't. It was just like another run of the mill battering.
Normally, Palace are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, famously against us as well.
Yeah, I find it a bit odd that they sacked Vieira, you know, because they're not doing that bad.
No.
Look, I know the table is basically split into two. You've got the top 11 and the bottom nine.
Yeah.
But Palace are sitting in what, 12th?
Yes.
And only 10 points off 11. But still, the bottom nine is a bit ropey, but I feel like Palace aren't even, like, every time a team goes to Selhurst Park, it's a tough game.
Absolutely.
Why would they sack Vieira against a few days before his boyhood, like, well, not boyhood, like club legend club?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a legend of Arsenal.
So much so that we were singing Vieira for like the entire last 30 minutes of the game after we basically put it to bed.
Mm.
It's a funny thing that he's been sacked at this point, because Palace's fixtures up to this period have been so difficult, and now whoever comes in and takes the manager role is going to seem like such a genius, because the rest of their fixtures, they play every single one of the bottom eight plus Spurs plus Brighton. I think
it happened with Scott Parker, didn't it, start of the season, remember? Was it with Bournemouth, wasn't he, when he had like a massive hard fixture, so then someone came in, they had all the easy ones.
Yeah.
Now look at them.
It's weird. And also, like, I think in the last 10 games, they'd only actually conceded 9 goals. Like, the results weren't going their way, but they had a ridiculous run of hard fixtures. Even against City, they looked good structurally and really should have got a point if it wasn't for, like, one moment of madness from Elise. Whereas yesterday, they looked ragged. They didn't look inspired. They didn't look like they were up for it.
They didn't have their captain.
Well, exactly. And I think as well, is it Paddy McCarthy? Their under-21s coach has taken over. It's not like they've brought in Rafa Benitez or something, like there was an immediate plan.
Yeah.
I saw him in the post-match interview, didn't look inspiring at all. Was proper like, you know, they asked him if he wanted the job. He's like, oh, well, you know, we'll take it a day at a time.
And I
don't know. It just feels like it's such a weird decision that wasn't really...
Well, it doesn't help that they went 7 hours without scoring a goal.
Yeah, true.
I mean, they went 3 games it in just a row don't, it don't make, shot on target.
I feel like Palace have had this problem of just like, they've got Eze, they've got Zaha, they've got Flair, but they just don't, they don't have a striker.
Yeah.
Like Edouard, bit bang average. Like Jordan Ayew, is he still around?
Yeah.
Probably.
Came on.
Do you know what I mean? Like they just always have dead strikers. Mm. Like give us...
Benteke back.
But even... Yeah.
Even Benteke.
Do you know what I mean? They need like a... They need to sign like a...
Solanke.
Huh?
Solanke.
I was going to say Solanke.
Yeah.
If Bournemouth go down, but then I don't think Solanke's good enough for Palace.
Yeah, Solanke's on the sort of par of Edouard, really, isn't he?
Yeah, do you see what I mean? They need a talisman.
They need a goal scorer, though. Even you look at January, Danny Ings went to West Ham. Why weren't Palace sniffing around Danny Ings if he was available?
Yeah, like, that's actually very true.
Any sort of goal scorer is what they're missing. Because I think it was Edouard went through yesterday and Ramsdale, it was offside, but Ramsdale made a save, and you're like, that's the sort of chance you've got to be burying in that sort of game, and they just haven't got it at the moment.
So. Well, look, touching on Arsenal, because got best footballer in the world. Two of them.
Go on.
Ødegaard, three of them.
Keep going.
11 of them.
Ødegaard, Martinelli and Saka. What was that?
It's Martinelli. I mean, he's all right, but...
Have you not seen the stats?
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Don't even start. Top of the league, one of the best players in the club.
Facts.
It's just facts. It's certified facts.
This is Saka. He is consistently scoring. You can't deny that.
Yeah. I know, but Almiron was consistently scoring at one point. Realistically, you're not that level.
He had a run of games.
He's not a Saka.
Saka's best winger in the world. Best right winger in the world.
I'll back that.
Ødegaard, best number 10 in the world. Martinelli. Currently the best left winger in the world.
No, Mbappé.
Well, Mbappé's just the best striker.
Yeah. Hybrid.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
Left wing's trickier. There's definitely more competition at left wing with Vinicius Jr. But, I mean, scoring-wise, he scored more than both of them in the league this season.
Saka's now double figures for goals and assists.
Yep.
And Martinelli's close. Martinelli's close.
Third behind Haaland and Kane, right? In terms of contributions this season. It's ridiculous.
Do you know what I heard on
the... He's literally a star boy.
Do you know what I heard on... But do you say in that? Do you know what I heard on the radio? It said, "What the amazing thing about Arsenal this season is that look how good Saka has been this season, but he's not our standout player of the season.
No.
Because of the level of players throughout the
club. Rotates each game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's what, it's not just one guy.
Yeah.
It's just oozing of talent and confidence
even
throughout.
Even Trossard as well.
Like, Trossard, what
his contribution shouldn't be going unnoticed. He's come into a team with not necessarily a hefty price tag in this market, but still like 25 million to have an instant impact.
And we could have been stuck with Mudryk.
Exactly. Yeah. First in the league to join a squad that's thriving and hold for your position. That's an impressive transfer.
Yeah. I think he's got the same amount of assists in his last six games that he'd had in his last 64 at Brighton.
Really?
Which goes to show like the level of team that he's come into.
Yeah, yeah.
But it definitely, I think it makes a difference. I love Eddie Nketiah, but playing Trossard in that sort of false
nine.
He is so versatile.
It's opened up Martinelli scoring more, Saka scoring more, and also Granit Xhaka has suddenly started finding that.
But
run
I feel like you have to credit Arteta though, because he looked at that objective and said, if I take out Nketiah and change the front three, it will benefit the rest of the team. And actually it did. And now we've got Jesus back.
I think that's what Trossard brings to the role more than Eddie does. In the sense that he almost is more like for like with how Jesus plays than Nketiah. Like he's not a leading front man. He's a guy that drops in the hole and allows others to play beyond him. So I think when they swap out each game, Trossard for Jesus, it's like, mate, this guy's just run 60 minutes and you're bringing on a like for like substitution.
Yeah, Arsenal's depth is getting better,
which
I like. Everyone keeps saying, Arsenal's title's wrapped up, it's theirs to lose. It's obviously not wrapped up. We've still got 10 games left to play.
Yeah.
But do you remember a few weeks ago when everyone was like, oh my God, Man United are in a title race?
What's the gap now?
19 points. That's
19.
They got two games in hand.
They do, yeah.
But 19 points.
They have to win the games.
Eah.
That's the...
Manchester United in a title race.
And they have Casemiro out.
They're in the top four race. I think they're in a top four race as well.
I know there's heat coming over from the man in the corner because he's very happy to see the... Yeah.
I knew it was happening, man. They got so excited. I said it before. They got a few string of results together. They thought they were class. As if they thought they were in a title race. Imagine having that ego that you think after winning like three games, after being terrible half the season, you're in a title race. It's a humbling that deserved, Hartman.
Yeah, and Spurs are on the ropes. They're in the bin. We'll touch them in a second. United on 50 points, 26 games.
Yeah.
Spurs, 49 points, 28 games. Newcastle, just 2 points behind them, again on two games in hand over Spurs.
And they play them.
And
Liverpool on 42.
The Seagulls are the ones that, three games in hand on 42 points.
The mighty Seagulls.
Absolutely.
Could they get Champions League?
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
Entirely possible.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't think they've got pressure. I think that not having pressure puts them in such a good position.
If they win their next three games...
Then maybe there's pressure.
I think maybe there's a bit of pressure.
Yeah. But if they beat Man United in the FA Cup and then go on to take top four, what a season for Brighton. Yeah.
The thing is as well, like player for a player, I actually think that they've got at least a starting 11 that can do it.
I agree.
Like it's not like players are massively outperforming and they're getting lucky results. Mm. Genuinely on ability, I think they've got the squad that can do it. Yeah.
And they've got the manager.
Yeah, De Zerbi's brilliant. Guys, we are delighted to tell you we are now partnered.
All you got to do is fill out a little questionnaire, which we will link in the description down below, all about your listening habits, and you can win a £99 Classic Football Shirt voucher. Obviously, we're good friends with them.
Yeah, and not only that, there is the chance to meet myself, Theo, and the blue-eyed lovely man, Tom Garrett.
And also the club, but I know you don't want to meet them, so maybe just meet us instead.
So click the link in the description to get involved.
I'm hearing a lot of people talk about the lack of quality this season. I hate it, because just because Arsenal are doing well, like, it does my head in. Do you know what I mean? Like, how can you say there's a lack of quality when Haaland scored like 47,000 goals?
What's he at now? 42, 41.
For the whole season, yeah. So he's got, I think he's on like 29 Premier League goals. It's a joke.
Yeah. And even Kane to a degree. What's Kane? 23, 24?
Kane's having a season of his life. Spurs, look, I don't know how they're fourth, but they are. Not for long. Yeah. But Kane's having an unbelievable season.
Yeah. The thing that winds me up, I keep hearing that Liverpool and City was a higher quality title. Like, over the last 4 years, it was a higher quality title race. Arsenal's points tally after 28 games was only bettered by one of those teams once in that entire period, which was Liverpool when they were on 79 points after 28 games.
When they won it. That's a bit outrageous.
When they won it.
Yeah.
Other than that, Arsenal have the second highest points tally in all of that time.
Yeah.
And in terms of goals scored as well, Arsenal, like, in the top half, if you put them all together, are in the top half in all that time as well. So
that makes me laugh.
The one that pisses me off the most,
when you look at goal difference, you've got Arsenal on like 40 something, Man City on 40 something, and then United are on six.
Yeah. It winds me up when people say it's like a Leicester season as well.
Yeah.
Leicester were on 51, scored 51 goals by this point. We've scored 66.
Do you know what people like to do? I've realised. People like to hate.
They do.
They like to hate. Now, look, this is a biased right now because it's three Arsenal fans.
Yeah, it's true.
But people do like to hate.
We need to be self aware.
Like, surely, as a neutral, you're fed up of Liverpool, Man City. Mm. You're fed up. Why not look at an Arsenal who play the great way? We have positive, a great young manager, side. They've got Bukayo Saka. They've not won the Premier League in 20 years. Be happy for them.
There are a lot of positives to get behind this Arsenal.
Arsenal doing it right.
Absolutely.
They're doing it right, absolutely. I tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, your fans were claiming that you're victims and that the referees always have to get you.
Every fan does that.
Yeah, I was rooting for you, but sometimes what I see, it's like,
you're cringing me out, Lewis. You're cringe.
Really, yeah.
You're a cringe bag.
I don't like that they take credit away from you, but you can argue.
We still have to play you at St. James's, don't we?
Yeah, you'll struggle.
So if we beat you in a delightful fashion, will you finally concede that we deserve to win the title?
I do think you deserve it currently. But like, and I do want you to, but I think there is an argument that like other title races have had. I mean, Liverpool and Chelsea have dropped off tremendously.
I would say Brighton deserve it.
that's another one though, right? The whole Liverpool and Chelsea have dropped off. You know when Arsenal lost Arsene Wenger and went through an absolute banter period, and United lost Alex Ferguson and went through a banter period, and this whole Liverpool City thing happened. No one was going, Liverpool fans and Chelsea and City fans certainly weren't going, United and Arsenal, two far bigger clubs have fallen off. It was all Klopp's amazing and riding. Yeah, points, so.
I think people haven't quite grasped the fact that Arteta is actually the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he is.
They will believe. So did
Company and the
Yeah.
He got turned.
But that's the curse of Burnley. Whenever they go to the Etihad, it's like minimum 5-0, isn't it?
Will it last? That's what I'm more interested about.
Because
like,
you're doing really well this season.
Objectively, all bias aside, I think it will do.
Like, to next season.
Yeah, because the youth of the squad and the philosophy that the club has going forwards and the style that we want to play, I think it is sustainable.
I also think as well, if Arsenal win the Premier League, they're back in the Champions League. The fact that it's a young manager, a young side, and a great future will be an attraction to a lot of players.
Definitely.
So I feel like Jude Bellingham will sign for Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And Declan Rice.
Could entirely
and
be
Mbappe. Perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
Perhaps not. Who do you think is going to be the next Palace manager? Roy Hodgson again?
I don't think it'll be Roy Hodgson. I don't know. And this is the biggest problem I think they've got, is that there's no obvious candidate.
Jesse Marsh.
Rafa's available.
Bielsa.
Bielsa's available.
Lampard.
There's no one. If they were going to do this, why not do it when Sean Dyche was available? Like, it just seems like it's way too late in the day
I don't think that Palace would have been a better appointment for Dyche given the personnel than Everton. Or
what do you mean the personnel?
I feel like Dyche can get more out of this Everton team than he would have out of the Palace team.
Interesting.
due to the nature that he likes to play.
Yeah, Palace got a bit more like Shazam about them.
Yeah. A bit flair.
Who's available, though? Who's available that's going to take?
Steven Gerrard.
Bielsa would be good with this Palace team.
He would, but I don't know if... The call they've made, right, is someone's going to come in and over the next 10 games, that there's a better likelihood of them getting points than Vieira. And I don't know if Bielsa's that guy. I don't know if he could.
I don't think it's just sacked him anyway, but I mean, whoever they bring in.
Allardyce.
Big Sam.
Could you imagine?
No, I don't know.
But Sven? It feels like Palace, or at least as you look at the squad, they're too good to get relegated. I know they're still in it.
No one's too good to get relegated.
Yeah, I know, but when you look at the squad at face value, you think that's a Premier League squad.
It is. The midfield's a bit of a concern.
So are Wolves.
Yeah, there's plenty in that.
Every team in the Premier League is a Premier League squad.
Leicester, West Ham.
Nice, yeah.
There's a lot of squads left where you're like, some of them are going to have to
get out. It's a table of two halves, and the last 10 or so games of the season are going to be very, very interesting, especially after the international break. Mm. Now, speaking of breaking things, Conte's mind is broken.
Yeah, yeah.
He's lost the plot, I'm all for the downfall of Spurs.
He's absolutely trying to get himself sacked.
But this is what he's done. This is the issue now, because he's trying to get himself sacked, but Levy is now there like, well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're doing. Yeah, I know what you're doing.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not fucking leaving.
The more he goes, I don't want to be at the club, and then the more Levy's like, well, you're not leaving, man. I'm not paying for you to
You're
leave.
Doing your job, Conte. Yeah. It's true, though.
It's absolutely true. He said, but he's so childish.
The club likes respect.
Yeah, yeah. They've not won the nothing in 20 years. Why? Why is it is. They're a serial loser. Why do I even get put in the club? I could have been sat on a beach drinking martini, and instead I manager of Spurs, and they're all shit apart from Harry Kane.
That's literally what he says, isn't it?
Yeah, literally.
Oh, and he had his poor surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's come back from the hospital and they're still being shit. Like, what has he got to do, this poor man?
No, he should take more blame, but at the same time, like...
You got to beat Southampton. You have to beat Southampton.
They're Spursy, man. Yeah. They're curse over Spurs.
I know Southampton have improved since the sacking of the greatest manager in world football, but Nathan Jones.
Also, Theo Walcott was a shining light.
No, I completely agree, but they are favourite candidates for relegation. You have to beat teams like that. Now, I know it's the end of the season and they have more dog in them and they've got to fight for more.
Ow.
So it's difficult. But if you have a lead away from home, don't give a penalty away in the 90-something minute and allow James Ward-Prowse, who's better free kicks than penalties.
He took a free kick. That penalty was a free kick.
Did you hear what Merce said on Soccer Saturday? Mm. He was like, it's a shame because he's tried to ask for a wall. But yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Look, Conte even went after the owner.
Yeah.
And he sort of tried to retract a statement that he didn't go after the owner, but he literally name-dropped Daniel Levy.
Are you enjoying the downfall?
Yeah, I am enjoying it. I'm very much enjoying it.
Guys, can I say... I know retrospectively they've got games in hand. Or don't. They're sat in fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Harry Kane.
Yeah. I don't even know if this was the game for him to have that meltdown either.
No.
Like, the Champions League, going out of the Champions League, that was when he should have come out. Because most of those things that he said applied then.
Yeah.
The Southampton game, they shouldn't lose, drop points from 3-1 up with like 15 minutes to go. It's not a penalty.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's not
a penalty. And if it's not a penalty, which it's not... They get away with a 3-2 win. The top four race is still well in their hands. And you're like, well...
Yeah.
Whereas I think it's built up. I think he even said he'd been hiding it for too long. Yeah. I think it was like a built up thing of, right, I've lost my head.
He's a frustrated
man. I wonder if he regrets it now.
But he's an emotional guy, right?
Because he's very
even
emotional.
When they got beat by Burnley, last season, Ben Mee header, I think, he was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. Like, this team's so bad, I've got to go. And then the game after they won, he was like, yeah, I love this squad.
Yeah, he is very, he's very reactive. But I reckon he must regret it because he's out of contract in the summer anyway, right?
Yeah.
So he might have saved himself a couple of months by getting
No way he regrets
but,
it.
But
there's no way.
There's definitely going to be owners around the world of football clubs that will simply go, I'm not ever hiring him.
Yeah, because he's got an asterisk.
Goes badly, he's going to put me on blast.
But I feel like it's just Spurs.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was worth it when
club.
He could have just left it for 2 months, and be, and then he can say all of that stuff once he's
And
there.
Also the football that they play is really bad.
It's so bad. Arsenal have a style. You can see patterns of play. There's no patterns of play at Spurs. You just pass to Harry Kane.
He's trying to produce what he had at Inter Milan without the people to do that. So ineffectively, it's a bad style of football.
And also, would that style work in the Premier League anyway, even if you had the players? That's
a good point.
So it's tough.
Do you think if Spurs got top four, it's actually detrimental to the club?
Well, yeah.
But if Conte stays.
No, he won't stay.
He won't stay anyway.
I mean, I think regardless, he's not going to stay. So if he secures them fourth and then leaves, that's not
job
a bad
done.
Result.
But do you not think, is it a bit awkward at training now?
Yeah, it has
probably.
Like, surely it's a bit awkward.
He's timed it with international break nicely, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Ah.
I saw him on, I don't know if it was recent or not, but I saw someone post today, he was on, Conte was on a Ryanair flight.
I've seen that.
I saw that. He was like fully asleep and shit.
Why was he on a Ryanair flight? I don't know.
Where's he going to?
Clearly, Spurs have gone, right, you can pay for your own flight.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to Bahamas.
Can he afford Ryanair?
Bahamas?
Do they go to Bahamas? Ryanair?
Probably not. Yeah. Look, you also, look, he has had major surgery recently, so he's probably got a bit of pent up testosterone.
I don't know if that's how surgery works, but.
Is he? I've never met him.
He's a bit small.
He's a bit small.
Yeah,
small man.
He's a bit small.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a bit angry, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm not going to, prejudge him, so.
Hmm. Antonio, what do you think? Do you think Spurs will get top four or top six?
No, I don't.
The longer the season goes on, the more I know they're sticking around fourth, the more I just don't think they'll get it.
The worrying thing is, Kane at the moment is performing unbelievably well. If he drops off, or gets injured.
Surely there's a point where, like, as much as there's an expectation for Kane to regress, the other players in the squad have got to somehow pull their finger out at some point. Like Son,
I know,
for the first part of the season, awful. Now he's starting to show little bits of his old self again. I mean, you'd expect that the players elevate themselves to the...
If I was a Spurs fan, I'd be scared. And here's why.
Well, because Arsenal are going to win the league.
Well, not just that. But if Spurs, which at some point will happen, whether it be this year or next, if they lose Harry Kane, they become a mid-table club.
Yeah. Well...
They do.
No, because they'd reinvest the money, they become
Aston Villa. They'll let Harry Kane leave.
Who you said would finish sixth?
And they still might. They actually still might.
Yeah.
Harry Kane will leave on a free because Levy will be like,
when's his contract up?
Next summer.
Yeah. Okay, so they've really got to try and...
But that's what Levy's saying, he won't let him go for less than 100 mil. He's not going for 100 mil with a year left on his contract at 30 years old this summer. No. So there is a danger that...
He goes for free.
Levy cuts off his nose to spite his face, keeps him for a year. They still don't get top four.
Yeah.
As Simon Jordan once said.
Oh, no.
Tosser.
Daniel Levy often saves a pound to end up losing a fiver.
Yeah.
What a philosophical quote from Simon Jordan.
I know. Maybe I should have taken that one for myself. It makes sense, though. He does.
Yeah.
He does. Where do you think Spurs will finish, Reeve?
Just outside. Fifth. I hope it's... Brighton that finished it fourth, but I think Newcastle will do it.
Let's go.
There's also an outside chance that Liverpool flutter about as well. But when are they kicking into fifth gear?
Well, they're meant to do it against Bournemouth.
Actually, they could do it next week against City because they love playing City. So you never know.
High scoring.
Fucking hope so.
I think Brighton are the scariest team. You know, they were getting near it.
They play such beautiful football, don't they?
I know that no one's thinking about them.
Well, we are.
Yeah, we are a little bit.
We are quite a lot.
Well, they're the second best attacking team behind Man City, aren't they?
Yeah, it's mental.
Post-restart, anyway, in terms of
Brighton
goals.
Yeah. Well, look, speaking of teams to go down, as in Palace a while ago, we have decided this week to make a new 11.
Ooh.
Lewis came up with this one. No one else. And the 11 is a team of two good to go down players.
Wow. Not
players, it's from clubs. Basically, it's the bottom nine.
Yeah, so we're doing Palace downwards.
Yeah.
Any of those teams that are in the potentially what would be the greatest relegation battle of Premier League history.
Yeah.
Like more than three teams might go down.
It's the first time. Five teams.
Palace, Wolves, Leeds, Everton, Forest, Leicester, West Ham, Bournemouth, and Southampton.
4 points between them. Unbelievable.
That's actually nuts, you know.
Unbelievable.
Any team can finish top six and any team can go down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, I tell you. It's crazy. So we're building a team full of 11 players from those nine teams.
And then, of course, next season, AFC Richmond are coming up, so.
That's true. Speaking of AFC Richmond, I may have secured us a shirt. for the set.
Is it from Ted himself?
It is from Ted himself.
Is it actually?
It is.
Amazing.
The thing is, I feel like I should go first.
Go first.
But I feel like a lot of these players do pick themselves.
We'll see.
Do we have the same sentiment there? No, maybe not. Okay.
We'll see, won't we?
Lewis said there was a stipulation of no loaned players.
Unless they're in the relegation
Can I just say, I thought we were doing the whole choose more than three from each team.
You didn't actually give us any rules, Lewis. So,
the
rule of two. Freaking out.
What formation are you going for?
I am going with a 3-5-2.
Yeah, I struggled with fullbacks.
Yeah.
But I went for a 4-3-3.
I feel like there's a lot of good centre-backs, not so much, you know.
Hit us with that knowledge one, Revo.
Jose Sarr in goal.
Agreed.
Now I
agreed.
No, I had Keylor Navas, but you said no.
Sorry,
Navas.
What?
Wait,
Jude Sarr or Keylor Navas?
No, I can't pick Navas. I can't pick Navas. He's on loan.
I think you're missing a blinding goalkeeper. But okay, next up we have
Danny Ward. I'm going to go a back three of James Tarkowski, who literally was too good to go down. Burnley did go down, and then he didn't end up going down, and he went to Everton. Joachim Andersen, and I don't know how to correctly pronounce this guy's name, but it's Agüerd from West Ham.
Agüerd.
I think he's top tier.
Agüerdes.
Moroccan.
Yes.
Agüerd.
My wide midfielders.
And he's a good player.
He is a good player. Nice.
Second one of the episode.
Yep. My wide midfielders are Eze and James Maddison. And then
Maddison?
Off the left?
No, Eze left and then Maddison right.
Maddison right, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm allowed to do that, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Put James Ward-Prowse left back if you want.
Well, he's in the team. I've got a midfield three of Ruben Neves, Declan Rice and JWP. Not at fullback. He's actually in midfield.
Contrary to many people's beliefs.
Why are you playing him out of position?
I don't know. I'm just letting him run forward a little bit, you know.
That's weird.
And then up front, I've got Wolf Zaha and Danny Ings.
Playing a lot of players out of position, but I like it.
Mm. Wait, what's who have I played out of position?
Zaha.
Wait, he's played centre forward.
Yeah.
Play centre forward?
Yeah. I think you're fine to left.
Yeah.
No, come on. Wait, mate, there's been plenty of occasions when him, Elise, and Eze play as a front three.
It's okay. We'll let you off.
Shut up, man. Don't. He does play.
Now, Rory, would you mind if I went next?
No, you go now.
Would you mind?
You go for it.
I play footballers in their positions. Funnily enough.
Wait, pick a point where someone in my team is out of position and I will argue against it.
Ward Prowse.
Okay, you can have that one.
Okay, in goal, Jordan Pickford.
Oh, piss off.
No.
Oh. Haters.
I'm not haters.
No.
I knew you were going to do this, but Jose Sarr's a better goalkeeper.
No, he's not. No, he just is. How many Euros final penalties has Jose Sarr saved?
Right.
None. How many World Cup penalties does
How many England kits has Jose Sarr worn?
None.
Yeah. Exactly.
How many times has Jose Sarr kept Wolves up? No times.
they've been mid-table for most of the time.
Pickford's better goalkeeper.
No,
I disagree.
Put your passport to the side.
Yeah.
Pickford's better
goalkeeper. Jose Sarr is
Pickford's better goalkeeper.
At a club level, Sarr's a better keeper.
Pickford.
Bro, no.
I think as well, comments will have my back on this one, won't they?
Well, the English
but I'm not
will,
saying
yeah.
Pickford's a bad keeper. I just think Sarr's better than
him. He is objectively better.
Okay. Well, look, each their own. Right back, Ricardo Pereira. I'm playing a 4-3-3.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah,
centre halves of Tarkowski and Anderson.
Nice.
Left back, James Ward-Prowse.
Nice.
I got three centre midfielders of Declan Rice, Maddison, and
Oh, okay.
What's your name?
No, Ruben Neves.
No, you got Declan Rice, James Maddison, and Onana.
Fair play.
Neves is probably one of the
fair play.
Okay, no, keep going.
I'm sorry, I went for balance in the midfield.
Yeah, no, that's nice. No, but you're not building a team to win a game. You're just building
quite literally am. left wing, Wolf Zaha.
Yep.
Right wing, Harvey Barnes. I can play him on the right if I want
to.
Good.
Up front, Rodrigo. In great form for Leeds. Scoring goals, double figures now. At me.
I will at you at on me. The Rodrigo pick because Bamford's been playing ahead of him.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And he's been injured. Rodrigo's been injured.
Mate, Rodrigo's literally got double figures. Get your facts right.
He has, but a lot of that was
mate,
the start.
He's been injured for the last 2 months.
Did you not see Rodrigo's goal at weekend? Phenomenal finish.
Yeah, came off the bench for
still
it.
Counts, though. If he scored start of season, still this season.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
10 times out of 10, no offence to Patrick Bamford, I'm playing Rodrigo over Bamford.
Not going to lie, I'm amazed that Bamford's still playing in the Premier League.
Yeah, so am I. And that's stunned. No disrespect to Patrick Bamford.
No, like, no, he had an absolute unreal, like, 20-goal season
on
one time.
Oh, my God. But he's one of the only people in world football that captains himself on FPL.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Class. I honestly think my team, that is actually the best team.
I think Wolves fans watching at home might agree you've got a massive anti-Wolves agenda.
Yeah.
I think Jose Sarr and Neves picked themselves.
Yeah, they were the Neves definitely.
You've discarded
sure.
them.
So I put Declan Rice and James Maddison over Ruben Neves. I've got Jordan Pickford over Jose Sarr. You lot are haters and the disrespect is outrageous.
If I was to manipulate your team a little bit, I would move Maddison into the Barnes spot and then play Neves over.
Barnes is better on a wing. Maddison's better in the centre.
What? No, well, Maddison plays right wing for most games at the moment.
I'm putting Harvey Barnes on the wide.
I just think you hate Wolves.
Yeah, man. You can't have put zero Wolves players in. That's
yeah. And both of them you replaced with Everton players, so maybe just a closet toffee.
Whoa.
I reckon there's an agenda.
Don't worry, mate.
Anyway, but that's all right.
Wolves,
like
in my opinion, just don't make the team.
Are you saying Wolves are going to go down?
I'm not saying that at all.
Are you saying Wolves are not too good to go down?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I've gone three at the back. Three at the back as well.
Yeah.
Because the fullbacks are a bit...
Unless you put James Ward-Prowse there, there's no rule.
Yeah.
But he's a left back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Jose Sarr, obviously. Anderson and Tarkowski, we all agreed on. My third centre-back's Bella Kotchap from Southampton.
Yeah, who I like that.
Fuck me.
Agüerd.
Agüerd, yeah.
Bella Kotchap.
Yeah.
You're German international, mate.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, sitting 20th in the Premier League.
His age.
One of the worst defenders in the Premier League.
You put James Ward-Prowse left back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he deserves to be left back. He's sensational.
He is.
He's literally Southampton's only good player.
No, but Bellicott's is good as well.
I don't.
If Southampton go down, Bellicott will be signed by
saying
a Premier League team.
Is if I put Bellicott in my team, I'm getting slated.
No, people would go, fucking hell, Phil, that's a bit of good ball.
Mate, he's
They would, you know.
Mate, you cannot put a Southampton defender in your starting team.
I think you can. Dave will pass. I think yours had one. I've then gone for basically I'm playing a 3-4-3-3. It's like a 3-3.
See how I did it properly, and these two have just sort of mangled their
team. No, I knew what my team
works. This works. Anyway, so I've got Rice, Ward-Prowse, and Neves in the field, who I just think all three of them. Onana is unlucky not to be there, but those three pit themselves. I've then got Jarrod Bowen right mid.
Interesting.
Over Harvey Barnes?
Yeah. Jarrod Bowen literally...
Jarrod
Bowen... By the way, I don't know if Harvey Barnes has had a cap for England, but Jarrod Bowen definitely did.
Fraudulent cap.
Last season.
Fraudulent cap.
Bowen literally played himself out of the championship. Like, he was so good at Hull,
he got
bought by West Ham from the... He was, like, player of the season in the championship.
I don't mind.
Moving like a Liverpool fan, living in the past.
having an off-season, but... West Ham have an off season in general.
And
he's not even within the context of West Ham. I think he's like their second highest scorer.
Yeah.
Anyway, off the left, I've got Zaha.
Okay.
And then I've got Maddison as like a centre forward. And then
you have to include him. He's like the number one team shit, isn't he? Really.
And then Brennan Johnson up front.
I had Ings / Johnson.
Yeah.
I went with Ings.
I wish Tom Garrett was here right now.
Garrett would have put Neves in.
Yeah.
For a fact.
With a beard.
No, because he says he's world class, didn't he?
Yeah. To be fair, right, Ings and Johnson, the difference for me is age.
Ings is getting to the point
in his career where...
But in my head, it was like, if you take a fit player for a one-off game...
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
There you go.
They were good.
They were decent.
Have you got one?
I have.
Ooh.
Yeah, read it out.
Can I just say, Lewis, who do you think is the best team out of them three so far?
I think you'll see through my picks. I've got some similar ones here. Starting with Pickford.
Yeah, good boy.
As much as it hurts me, good boy. Yeah, thank you. He has very small arms, and that does prohibit him to making some.
You hate Jordan Pickford.
He's in my team.
That's my team.
Right, this is a misconception. I don't hate him. Just happens to have small arms, and I've pointed it out.
No, but you
that's
also
not an insult.
You also think he's got a really bad attitude when he plays.
He does a little bit.
I just think England's number one shouldn't be committing another long-term contract to relegation.
Loyalty is to be commended.
He just knows he's not going to
go down. I have got Ricciardo as well, right back.
You got four back? Okay, fair enough. We cheated it a little bit.
I've messed up here. I've heard some of your names and I wish I had them. So I've got Tarkowski and Keane there. I do like Anderson a lot though. Completely forgot about him.
We should give shout-outs to like Gehi, Max Kilman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
There are a lot of people that are
quite a few. James Ward-Prowse, obviously left back.
Yeah.
Paqueta.
Yeah, I like that. He nearly made mine.
I forgot about Rice Lake, so that's...
Okay, well...
You got Rice.
I was so happy for you. I was like, oh my God, you've... Lewis, where has this knowledge come from? And then you've just gone back to zero again.
Kamara.
Nice!
I like Kamara a lot.
The only problem is, he plays for Villa, who are not involved.
Oh shit, I thought he was...
That's a really good pick, but he's not from a team that is in this conversation, Lewis, so...
You should have said, I forgot that Villa were still in that scrap.
Why did you replace Kamara with Rice?
Because I wanted to be honest. I didn't want to change the team halfway through.
You could have also put in like Emi Martinez, Ollie Watkins.
He said he thought Kamara played at West Ham. That was why.
Oh!
I must have mixed it up with the kids, right? Leave me alone, man. All right? Fuck off.
I like the pick. It's just the wrong team.
Madison in there. Bowen, Jimenez. And Zaha.
Jimenez.
You put Raul Jimenez in
there. Yeah, man, he's a unit, and I just couldn't find a striker who I liked. Hey, which strikers did you pick again?
Nah. Danny Ings, Brendan Johnson.
Nah. Danny Ings, nah.
Diego Carlos.
Iheanacho.
Costa.
You could even throw like one of the wide players.
Shea Adams.
Raul
Jimenez is doing it more for you than all
he's
of them.
He's doing it for me. I feel like he's just not doing great, man, but I like the guy.
Since his head injury, I think he's got like one goal in about 20 games.
If he's playing in the championship, something's gone wrong.
You know what? Nick Pope should have been sent off for kicking.
He should,
Oh, no, he just needs to get on the weights. I think the head injury, he's got a bit lost. Fell over.
Lost.
A bit dizzy.
So you've replaced Kamara with Rice.
Yes.
And put him as... Okay.
So you don't have Ruben Neves either?
Nah.
Didn't make the cut.
Tough.
That's a harsh crowd. Ruben Neves, poor guy, man. He's like...
I think he's one of the few players in that whole team that you'd say could comfortably move to like a top four, top 16 and start.
I think Madison would.
Madison.
And Declan Rice.
He's already going, yeah.
Paqueta as well. Like, he's not playing great now, but like if he hits his Brazil form, and surely he will eventually, he's a really good player.
Who?
Paqueta.
I thought he said Ruben Neves.
Yeah.
If only.
So, guys, if you're watching right now, let us know in the comments. What team?
I feel like me and Rory have done it a little bit dirty by putting three at the back. So, objectively, we should have gone four at the back, but, you know, that's fine.
I still think I've got the best team.
Well, you have to think that because that's how we do this segment.
I think I've got a balanced team.
Yeah, but we're not building a team to win a game. We're building a team with 11 players that are too good to go down.
I don't know if James Ward-Prowse at left back is
he's got a point there. He's got a point there.
What are you talking about?
I just don't know if it's overly balanced.
He's a left back.
In my humble opinion.
Also,
that's a bit weird,
isn't it? Knowledge,
also, because this will be a YouTube segment, won't it? Then people should put their teams in the comments.
Yeah.
And players that we have missed or we have overlooked that should...
Wilfred Nonto.
Nonto was another good one.
Deserves a shout.
Yeah, true.
He's a baller for Italy.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Very good player.
Was he only 3 million?
No, the Leeds gaffers just like stopped playing him.
No, he played. He came off.
Not starting again.
No, he started against Wolves.
Did he start finally?
Yeah, he got an assist in like 4 minutes.
He went through a bit of like a patch of just like the new manager came and was like, yep, you're not getting played.
Yeah.
But I think Nonto is very, very good.
He is very, very good.
Very good player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Let's tell you who else is a good player.
Go on.
Mitrovic.
Ooh.
Mitrovic.
Good for entertainment.
I'm having a word with Mitrovic right now. Camera one.
Okay, got you.
Mitrovic.
Alexander.
You are a role model to many young children around the world. And you, Bruno Fernandes, you can watch this as well.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Nice.
What you did is unacceptable. You cannot lay your hands on a referee in that manner. You got his face. You shouted at him aggressively. What do you think when these kids at home are watching this? You think that's acceptable? Do you think they see that and say, wow, Mitrovic, my hero, is going to do that. Bruno Fernandes, my hero, is going to do that. Let me do that to a Sunday League referee who's getting paid £20. Huh? Embarrassing. Embarrassing. And if the referee department, what are they called?
PMGOO.
PMGOO. If they don't do anything about this, if they don't do anything about this, they're embarrassing. Bruno Fernandes should have got a retrospective ban. Mitro hopefully will.
I think he will.
And if they don't, sack them all.
Do you know what I think's happened? Is I think that PMGOL have realised that they made a mistake with Fernandes.
I agree. A monumental error.
They've cracked down super hard on Mitrovic because there's rumours of a 10-game ban.
So it should
be. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Nah.
I back it. You have to set precedent.
The thing is, for the first, the first person to do that, you have to set a precedent where.
But he's my problem is, if he gets a 10-game ban on Bruno Fernandes, they looked at Bruno Fernandes' incident after the game.
But they've made a horrible mistake.
Why should Mitrovic then get, like, potentially double the length ban because they messed up and Bruno Fernandes didn't get a ban?
Well, the problem is,
you can't do that.
Bruno Fernandes should have done it, and they completely messed it up. And that's their issue. But Mitrovic should now get the ban because, mate, I'm not being funny.
Go on.
So many kids are going to start doing, like, I think it's acceptable. They will.
No, what's your logic? You're saying because Bruno didn't get himself, we should have let Mitrovic get off the hook.
No, he should get a four-match ban, but he shouldn't have, like, a 10-match ban because they're trying to make an example out of Mitrovic when they could have made an example out of Bruno within the same season.
There is still time to make an example of Bruno.
Yeah, there is.
Why not do it retrospectively?
Yeah, they've already investigated it. I also think there's, like, Mitrovic is being discriminated against because he's a big, scary Serbian.
Mm.
Bruno is a small, rodent-looking, inoffensive man.
Yeah.
And so people go, oh, well, Bruno was just petulant, whereas Mitrovic was
I disagree. Yeah. I think everyone likes Mitrovic. Everyone freaking hates Bruno Fernandes and they want to see him burn.
Well,
yeah, but he's not very scary, is he? Card.
Mitrovic, people actually read. I think a majority of people like Mitrovic. They love him as a footballer and they're really disappointed in him. It's like one of your best friends is let down.
Yeah.
Like, Mitrovic, what are you doing?
Do you know?
And also, Mitrovic was far more aggressive than Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes was a little whiny little rodent who pushed him out of the way. Fine, I pushed him out of the way. Shouldn't have done that. Should get a van. Mitrovic was quite aggressive.
Yeah,
in his face.
He was actually. And he did grab him and
kept going from as well. Kept going back.
But without the grab, it would have been a booking.
Yeah.
Player goes up and screams in their face and points at them, they get a booking.
Yeah.
So effectively you're saying it's a 10-game ban for grabbing his arm. Well, in that case it would have been a 10-game ban for Bruno.
Yeah, but I'm saying they both should have the ban.
Yeah, I agree.
Or they should have a ban of 5 games each.
Yeah.
Split the
bill.
I just think the refereeing people should make an example because I think this will trickle down into Sunday League football and you end up with no referees and you won't be able to play Sunday League.
Yeah.
It's funny because this is the Mitro I remember. He's went like goody two shoes recently. Like he's been an absolute good lad since he came Premier League. I'm like, what's going on with this lad? Because when he was at Newcastle first season, he was getting red cards, yellows, rappers. That's why we sold him.
I reckon it's partly Marco Silva's responsibility.
I agree.
Because Marco Silva got himself sent off before Mitrovic got sent off.
I agree.
Like, it was a blatant handball, so I don't even know what he's complaining about. But by him going over and making that commotion with the ref, he gets it in Mitro's head that this is like a massive injustice.
Yeah.
Because Mitro, it was when we scored the late winner at the Emirates against Fulham, and he thought that the keeper had been obstructed or something. He was going ballistic when he went
Gabriel,
to VAR.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, and after the game, he even apologised. He was like, no, I got that one wrong. But you can tell, like, he has that
heart on the sleeve
thing. And if you're the manager of that player, you've got
Marcus Silva should never have left his technical area.
No.
And the worst thing about it all is Fulham were playing really well at that.
They were the better team. They were the best side, I tell you.
Yeah,
they completely capitulated.
A great chance to get
to
Wembley.
Does that show you just United maybe aren't all...
No, they are gettable.
Yeah, 100%. Fulham were by far the better side and then it went down to 9 men.
Yeah. In a minute.
Yeah.
Do you know what I blame? I blame Jadon Sancho.
Why?
He should have just scored.
Well,
none of this would have happened.
That's another thing with the red card. Should Willian have been sent off? Because I think the shot was going wide. And if it's going wide, it's not a red card. That shot, if you watch a replay, it's in line with the post.
It's
curling away.
What?
And if it's not going in, it's not a red card. Watch it back. Watch it back. I promise you, watch it back.
It's clearly going in.
Watch it back.
I think what Roy's saying is there's no guarantee that it would have gone in. The only way you'd be able to tell if that went in is if William wasn't there.
It was going in.
I don't think it was going in. It looked like it was bending.
Well, if one person thinks it wasn't going in and two people think it was going in, it's not a
33% of people.
No, but even if it's
debate about it,
don't say
it. Even if it's not, send them off. You can't be setting a precedent that, like, you can
you write that word now that we've said it.
I know you can't be setting a precedent that you can be like, well, technically it was offside, ref, so I'm allowed a handball if a yellow. No, get off.
Yeah,
no less of that.
Get out.
Does this mean Mitrovic is now banned in the Premier League as well?
Yeah, that's if he gets a 10-game ban, he's out for the season.
Well, that is not good for Fulham.
There's peak times for Fulham.
That's outrageous.
They deserve better than that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Game's a game, man.
Game's a game.
Don't do that. Don't do it. It's not nice. What about Bruno Fernandes, though? He actually played quite well, annoyingly.
But he's one of those people that the moment there's weakness in opposition, he just goes for the jugular. He's the same as Salah in that kind of vein, that when they're hard to beat, he isn't as good as when they're gettable. Do you know what I mean? He's almost like he's a flat track bully. Sort of thing.
Interesting.
No?
Interesting way of
that. Well, Salah's just... Salah transcends any form of difficult level of fixture, but yeah, I mean...
Bruno Fernandes is so annoying, man, because he's a club captain of Manchester United. He's got all this talent. He's just such a...
dick.
Yeah. As like, obviously, if you're a United fan, you'd love it because you've got him on your team. But I feel like he does let... United fans do get annoyed at him sometimes because he does just
but
like...
But do you not think United have always had those kind of characters? Like, even Roy Keane was a little bit like that.
Roy Keane was not a whiny little...
No, but I mean, like, a serial winner that if the things aren't going his way...
No, completely wrong. Roy Keane wears his heart on his sleeve and will want to win constantly. Bruno Fernandes, when things not going his way, he starts whining and just like moaning and like pushing.
Yeah, but I mean, I mean the mentality of you either win the game or it's not good enough.
I think there are different to that.
No, but there are parallels between them.
I think he starts toys out of pram. That's what he does.
As much as I dislike him, the one thing I've respect him for is just the amount of game time he has.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. He's because of like, they have no alternative
either,
to him.
Yeah.
Doesn't get injured. I think he's missed like six games in the last 6 years.
They've played 25 games since the restart.
Yeah.
United.
Yeah.
A lot of
I think he's played in every single one.
I think he's played pretty much 90 minutes.
Rashford scored in everyone.
Nearly, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think United will finish third? Do you think third for them? Do you think
Lewis will keep his hair?
Do you think United could win the FA Cup? I know City are still in there. Brighton are still in there.
I'd love Brighton to win it. That would be so good. It would be so good.
Bold take. I wouldn't be surprised if they miss out on top four, don't win the FA Cup, don't win Europa League.
United?
Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me.
They just come away with one trophy.
Yeah.
After the club.
After all that. Because they're trying to go for all of it, and it's one of those that could end up going the complete opposite way. Even in the running, if they make it past Sevilla, which they probably will, I think they've got to play Juventus twice within the final two or three weeks of the Premier League. If they're in a proper top four race, though,
yeah,
got to go away to Italy.
Yeah.
Whenever teams... I don't know. I think it's risky what they're doing. And I think... without Casemiro for the next three games, I could see them not winning any of the next three Prem games against Everton, Brentford and Newcastle without Casemiro.
That would be a disaster.
At St. James's Park as well.
It would be a disaster for United.
Yeah. Realistically,
he's back for Forest, isn't he?
Yeah, he's back for Forest. Oh, yeah. But realistically, yesterday, they look so weak in the midfield without him.
Yeah.
And they're coming up against three teams with very strong, well-drilled midfields. They don't pick up a single win in the next three. Newcastle, Spurs and potentially Brighton are going to be all over them.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Touch on the Europa League. Do you think the fact that Arsenal obviously went out on pens against Sporting, do you think that's actually helped Arsenal?
I was going to ask you this earlier. Do you think it's a benefit?
Yeah, I put a video out saying I think it's a blessing in disguise, which I didn't on Thursday night. But then once the draw came out and it would have been Juve, then probably United, which is like the hardest route it could have been. I'm like, you look at the fixture list with and without those games. It's like we would have gone Liverpool away, Juventus away, Brighton away. Not Brighton, someone else away. In the space of 6 days.
Yeah.
And then also, it would have just been brutal. And I think, you know, the fact we had to play Rob Holding yesterday.
Who's actually
did incredibly well.
Yeah.
But
it's not Saliba and Gabriel.
It's a demonstration of the lack of depth we've got. Yeah. When you consider City are playing four centre backs a game at the moment and Laporte's still on the bench.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is that simply just because Kvyat can't play right centre back?
Arteta doesn't like playing right.
Yeah.
On the wrong side.
Pep logic, isn't it? Yeah.
Makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
But even still, now Tomiyasu's out for the season.
Yeah.
That's big.
Saliba, we don't know how.
But you can't. Is there no merit in bringing White to right centre back and then trying to find a solution for the right?
We don't have a right back. We let Cedric out on loan.
Recall Maitland-Niles.
It would have been Tomiyasu.
Yes,
well, Maitland-Niles played at centre back on.
He
left because he hated the fact that he had to play at right back instead of centre midfield.
What happened?
You know what? Maitland-Niles' biggest error in his career was thinking he could play centre mid.
But.
I love Maitland-Niles. He's such a good right back. And right back is such a... I feel like right back over the last like 5-6 years have really... It's become like a... It's a cool position to play.
Yeah.
Whereas before it wasn't.
Yeah.
He'd actually be excellent in like the right back role that Arteta has as well.
Yeah.
Because it can invert into the midfield.
Well, I think for next season it's quite exciting if he wants to come and prove himself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it'd be fantastic.
I think he's out of contract in the summer, but...
I think hopefully so. I like Ainsley.
Yeah.
He's a good boy. Moving swiftly on. The Pidgin. Pidgin.
What's the genre this week, Lou?
So you were going to debate, simply, which player is better in their prime. So three players coming your way. You have to fight for them, whether you believe it or not.
Okay.
So, Theo, you have Mr. John Terry.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Reeve. Stones. And Rory, Rio Ferdinand. So three centre backs each. And
we've just typed in Stones and it just came up with pictures of Stones on
Google.
Nice. Mr. Theo, would you like to kick us off?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, I'll set your timer.
Fair enough, you're going anyway.
Three, two, one, go.
John Terry. Arguably the bravest defender of all time. He could score goals with his head. He would put his head on the floor to defend against players.
That's a good chance.
He was part, and actually captain, and probably arguably the quintessential part of, arguably, the greatest defence to ever grace the Premier League.
How many goals?
14 goals conceded that season.
15
goals conceded that season. He won the Premier League not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, five times. Multiple FA Cups, Champions League. He had one downfall in his career. Well, two. Maybe three. But one footballing downfall in his career and missing that Champions League penalty. But he came back and continued an unbelievable career, not only for club, but also for country. John Terry is recognised as, let's face it, one of the best centre-backs of all time.
Amen.
You could argue about his personal life, but that's not part. That's not what we're arguing about.
Don't argue
that bit. Your minute, sir. Very good. Right, Mr. Reeve.
Hello.
Three, two, one, go.
Now, the best John on this table is actually surnamed Stones. John Stones, not John Terry. And the reason why I'll tell you that is because at club level, he's won every single thing that you could possibly do apart from the Champions League. Domestically, anyway. At country level...
Terry's won it all.
No, at country level... He's been part of one of the few England squads ever that have made an international final. Sadly, neither of these two beside me can say that.
Part of it.
Who?
Didn't start it.
It doesn't matter. Signed for a price tag of 50 million, which back in the day was an extortionate amount of money. And even to this point in time, you can say that John Stones is comfortably one of the best centre-backs in the world. So in the current climate of world, please don't yawn, that's really mean. The current climate of world football, for a guy that can play centre-back, right-back, and even now transitioning into DM as part of a Pep Guardiola side, he is fantastic. I should get another few seconds because he was yawning on that.
Time.
Rats, man.
I can't stop a yawn.
You can win it. You could turn around and do it.
Then I'm turning my back to you.
Yeah, but then you'd have to do it in my face.
It's a lose-lose situation.
Right, Rory. Real Ferdinand, why is he the best? 3, 2, 1, go.
Rio Ferdinand is hands down the best of the three, arguably the best centre-back in Premier League history, certainly a member of the best centre-back pairing in Premier League history between him and Nemanja Vidic. Theo reeled off one, not two, not three. Rio Ferdinand won six. That's more than five Premier League titles that John Terry won. He also won a Champions League, Club World Cup. He basically won everything. 81 appearances for England, over 300 appearances for Manchester United. He's also gone on to be a fantastic pundit relative to John Terry, which, of course, you know, it counts for something. And other than that, look, he undoubtedly played in the best United period through the majority of the Premier League. That's it. I only need 42 seconds. There's no, the statistics are there.
There we go.
John Terry, yeah, was in the FIFA World 11 five times.
Oh, jeezy, please. Yes.
Five times.
Well,
can you wait for Club Defender of the Year three times?
What you should have said is Rio Ferdinand has an icon card and none of the other two do.
That's a very good point.
And he also did ballet.
Yeah, he did do ballet, didn't he?
That's a very good point.
So the question is, do you think Theo actually believes his argument about John Terry?
What we in the prime, in their prime.
Prime.
The argument is in their prime, who's the best of the three?
Yeah. Who's the best, yeah, prime.
Do I think Theo believes that John Terry is the best of the three?
Yes.
In their prime, no.
Nah.
I think, well, I don't want to speak for everyone here, but in their prime, surely it's Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah.
I think it's John Terry.
I think John Terry... Is the better objectively over the course of his career, but would, in a one-off game, I'd think I'd sooner take Rear.
Yeah,
and I think Theo thinks that as well.
No, I think John Terry.
Okay, fair enough.
It's literally the main part of the best defense ever.
Yeah.
With JT.
He is JT, yeah.
I think Rio third. I think Rio and John Terry are basically on par with each other, but JT pips him.
Are there any other centre backs?
Company.
You put them him above.
Oh, what, above. In the Premier League history, there's no one better than John Terry and Rio Ferdinand, in my opinion.
Prime.
Vidic, maybe?
Prime.
VVD.
Oh, VVD.
Nah. Prime.
Nah, get out.
I'm being serious.
No.
I'm being serious. Wait, who do you think is better out of the three then?
I think Terry's the best centre-back, but I think in their peak of their powers, Rio Ferdinand's the best.
But you take a Prime Van Dijk over any of them?
No. I think he's in the conversation.
Oh, in the conversation. Nah, yeah.
Carlo Torre.
Sol Campbell.
Pascal Sigan. Philip Senderos.
I think it's tight, crazy to say that Van Dijk and...
Rory, I think you think Ferdinand's the best.
Yeah, I do.
Said Prime. You didn't say...
Yeah, Prime.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Prime.
But it's like, very different.
But it depends. Like, if you're thinking about one game, I'm thinking like Prime, like a season. Like one game is very specific.
The thing is, with Terry and Ferdinand, their prime was a long time.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Terry...
Maybe John Terry then. Because how long are you defining prime?
Just like a year, a season.
So for a whole...
Prime, someone's prime is not a year.
This is what I mean.
Well, someone's prime is like a long time. Like yeah.
Yeah.
Like multiple years.
Yeah. Come on, yeah.
Well, that's it.
It's a matter of opinion, isn't it?
Why don't we call up Wayne Bridge and see who he thinks?
Yeah. How old's John Stones now?
Yeah, why is John Stones not got mentioned?
I mean, why was he in that?
Yeah, I got stiff there, man.
It's only John Stones, only 28. You love him.
No, he's
playing centre mid, remember?
He's 28, yeah, but he's 29.
Arguably, like, you don't even know if Stones is his prime.
Yeah. How can I tell?
Stones is exceptional, though.
He is absolutely brilliant player, but is he in his prime now?
I know, but if you think about what Stones is capable of doing, you've seen it yourself, being able to play further up the pitch.
Unbelievable.
I know, like, yeah, I mean, does that not... Does that not come into it?
Yeah, when I went to watch him at the Etihad for the 7-0, he was... Yeah, but he wasn't even playing at centre-back. He was playing DM. He's not even in this
position. He'd still rotate back round, though, when they were attacking. Yeah. So, like, isn't that a credit to him that he's able to defend at centre-back and then push up into midfield?
I agree.
Midfield.
I just think you've put him in an unfair conversation.
To be fair, Terry couldn't play as a right-back inverted DM.
No, but he's a centre-back.
Yeah, no, as now right centre back.
Versatility has to come into it though, surely.
JT on the ball was so good.
This is my question. If John Terry and Rio Ferdinand were played under Pep, do you not think that they'd be able to do that by the end of their career?
I think Rio would have a far better chance than
Pep. I don't know about Terry, but
Terry was amazing on the ball.
He was sensational.
Terry was so good on the ball. People forget how
they have like that
underappreciated.
John Terry sacrificed his life.
Terry had everything a defender needed. In the day when people didn't even play out from the back.
I see them as like the very old school sort of centre back. Like very good in that, but like not in terms of...
John Terry in today's day and age.
Yeah,
John Terry, but not in that
pinnacle of centre backs.
If Ruben Dias can play for Man City right now, John Terry could.
But then in that Pep team and play that John Stones role where you're pushing up and...
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
He's a smart footballer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Look at how long it's taken John Stones to adapt under Pep to be able to do it. There's no doubt that Terry and Ferdinand would have
learned. Who would you put first?
Terry and Ferdinand.
You said Rio.
They could play now.
It's hard, mate, because I think it's so easy to look back and have like the bias of like when you were a kid watching these players and like, you know, the unbelievable. And it's easy.
Mate, they were!
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. And that's what I'm trying
it's
to fight
against.
It's
not even nostalgia
tactics,
it's just true.
I'm trying to decide if I'm just gravitating to them because I'm biased to the past.
So you're going to put John Stones first?
I think he should have more of an argument, definitely, because I think when you're able to do what he's able to do, like defend centre-back and also, you know, go right back, you're going to go push up into midfield and, you know, control the game that way. I mean, that's massive.
It's a different generation of football now.
Terry and Ferdinand are both comfortably in the question of like top five centre-backs in the Premier League history. Stones isn't in that conversation.
It's like saying who's better, Saka or Beckham?
Saka.
In their prime. Saka's not in his prime.
Huh?
Well, exactly.
He's better now than Beckham's prime.
Anyone?
Well, let us know
it's an interesting
who you think
one,
in the comments.
Put up in my all-time Premier League 11, I put John Terry. But I think if I was having like a full fitness season of a player, it's Inter Rio.
See, you're just contradicting yourself, man.
Kind of, I am, aren't I?
Yeah, you need to go home and rethink your life.
Yeah, maybe.
I need to go home and rethink my life.
Speaking of ex-Chelsea players.
And going home and rethinking our lives.
Yeah. What's happened with Mason Mount?
He's not an ex-Chelsea player.
Well, yet.
Potentially. Dun, 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 dun. Where do you think he goes, Theo? Did I see him at the Arsenal?
Oh,
or Liverpool.
Money, Mace. Money, Mace.
Would you want him at Arsenal?
I think you'd be an idiot to say no to Mason Mount.
Do you reckon?
I think he's a real deal. Mm. I think he's a real deal.
Where would you play him?
Mm. Wherever he wants.
No, no, but where would you play him?
Oh, centre mid.
Instead of Xhaka?
That's where Rice is going
to. You'd have to play him there.
I'd play him as an impact sub.
An impactor.
So just a bench player.
No, because Arsenal need squad depth, and Mason Mount is squad depth.
Yeah, no,
and
I
think he's so good.
He's not going to come to sit on the bench at Arsenal, though, is he?
No, but he can fight for his way in.
Okay,
he can prove his worth.
So
we need someone who's driven.
I think he looks at Liverpool's team and sees the centre mid slot, and he's like, "Well, I can slot through it."
My question to you is: as much as he provides squad depth, if we buy Declan Rice, we then have Vieira and Ødegaard competing for that 10. We have Partey and arguably Jorginho in.
I forgot about him.
In the DM role, and then you'd have Rice and Xhaka in that 8 role. Where does Mason Mount play?
I think Mason Mount's base. He'd be better for him at Liverpool. But I wouldn't. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't say no to Mason Mount. I think he'd be dumb to say no to Mason Mount.
Yeah, but you can say that about loads of footballers in the Premier League.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you reckon he actually leaves?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think his heart's gone.
Yeah.
Not like.
Where does it go?
I think his heart's gone from the club. Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like it's with everything that's happened at Chelsea, with the ownership they've brought in, it's just become a business.
Yeah.
Signing mercenaries.
Yeah, I think they're forgetting about Mason Mount was the one that dragged them through when they had their summer transfer ban.
It must be weird for a player like Mount, boyhood club,
yeah,
dragged them through that period. Suddenly, new owners, new manager, bunch of new players.
He's getting disrespected a little bit.
It is disrespectful. He's not having a good season, but you can understand why he'd leave.
Well, a lot of the Cobham original... a lot of the Cobham originals have now
gone.
Yeah, ventured beyond Chelsea.
Beyond the wall.
Sad, man. It's sad.
A great youth system, but they always just get rid of them.
Yeah.
I think he could kick on and do really well at the
100%
for him. And 100%. I hope he does do it, because if he does that, apparently Chelsea is still in for Declan Rice, but if his best friend isn't at Chelsea anymore, there's far less reason for him to go.
Then Rice will come to Arsenal. Come on, Declan.
Yes.
So, join us.
Do you reckon Mount does go Liverpool then? Because he's obviously got the qualities to be that 100%. Kind of player, both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
Newcastle. You're getting Madison.
And Madison
James
and Mount.
Ward-Prowse. Who else do you want?
I'm just saying it's an option.
It's an option.
It's an option for him.
It's an option.
It's not like we're not going to look at it. If a top quality player wants to leave and you have loads of money, you're going to be like, well, do you want to come, like?
Do you come, like?
Is that your transfer policy?
Hey, Mount. Transfer. You want to come, like?
All we have to do is ask Mount, do you love Bridges? If the answer is yes, he's come to Newcastle.
But why did he leave Stamford Bridge?
He's definitely going to say no at that point.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm scarred by my previous bridge.
Yeah. True. Liverpool it is.
Yeah.
I think we're all being, you know, the whole Bellingham thing to like Premier League, he's just not going to come, as he's going around with it. End of story. Right. Moving on to...
What was that? I thought that you're going to end in something there. Oh, you just...
No, I just don't want to touch on Bellingham.
Okay.
But he's going around Madrid.
Yeah, but how does he fit in that midfield though?
He is the midfield.
No, but it'd be Tchouaméni, Camavinga.
I think you'll see Kroos and Modric get phased out.
No, they're going to live forever, man.
Do you not think Man City have a shout at all?
No.
Yeah, I do. I really think he's a City player.
I think they're clearing out their midfield this
summer. Yeah, I think he's a City footballer.
Haaland connection as well?
No. They've got Real Madrid.
City have a Dortmund connection.
Absolutely.
Jude Bellingham is English and probably will.
Yeah.
He's a Galactico.
Going to replace Gundo.
He's a Galactico.
Yeah. I think he could end up it.
But he could be a Galactico in 5 years' time after he does the whole Man City-ico.
He's still only for 23.
Yeah.
He's not ending up at Liverpool. I think that's the one thing that we
can. I agree.
Wait, was it Gerrard or Carragher that said that Klopp's going to have to swim the channel to make him play for Liverpool? No? There was a quote
that came out
on the weekend or the weekend before. It was like, if he wants Jude Bellingham to play for Liverpool, he's going to have to swim the channel and claw himself there.
Yeah.
I might have just made that up, or is it?
Damn, got the money.
Yeah, you might be on it.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to the boot. Where is our jingle? No, we want a jingle.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Tottenham have never had a good enough squad to win anything. They've only overperformed.
Is that not the guest one?
No, it's the Tide Laces.
I
disagree with that. I think they have had the squad to win something.
I think the squad of the year they got to the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Like if you get to any final, you're capable of winning it. I'd say they could have won the Champions League final. I think they're serial bottlers. I think that, and especially things like League Cups and FA Cups. It's not even... Not, I mean, I think, in the least disrespectful way possible. the club, at its heart and soul, is incapable of winning.
Yeah, I agree. Do you know, I think if you've got Kane and Son, you should be winning something.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you had Gareth Bale.
The best duo of Premier League history, aren't they, technically?
Did Bale and Kane ever play together?
No.
That's sad.
Mm. Different periods.
Yes.
To greater times. Right, I'll pick one out before.
I'll pick out the guest one.
Are you sure? There's not one left. I think we've...
Cleaned out the guest.
Shouldn't be if people have been putting
them on. There are some in here. You show them right in the toe. So.
Oh, here we go.
I want Les Scott's
Football matches should be 60 minutes long.
No.
The stop-start system.
Oh, NFL. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So when the ball goes out of play, stop the clock.
You lose the drama.
No, you do. I think you would lose the drama.
Yeah.
Because you don't get into a game and then people just run down the clock. And I like the idea of like a 97th minute winner versus Bournemouth.
It's like in NBA, like they stop playing when like it gets to a certain point. It's like, well, we haven't even got time to come back. So they just sit there, bounce the ball.
But
like,
a buzzer shot though. 95 yards out.
You also have less chance of like off the pitch scuffles if everyone's just like, oh, quick, get the ball back in play.
Yeah, I think it would lose the drama of football.
Yeah.
I think it would do.
Yeah,
it
becomes,
drama of football.
Becomes more...
I like the idea to prevent time wasting.
Yeah.
But I think you just incorporate what you did in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And like, if you're going to time waste, we're going to add it on.
Yeah.
And you're going to get shifted, Emi Martinez.
As painful as it is, like conceding a last minute winner, when you score a last minute winner,
yeah,
it's
agree.
Like unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I was scarred by the Liverpool goal, but they must have loved it. And it comes back around eventually, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. Speaking of straight facts. Also, how good was Johnny's goal at the weekend?
So good.
Yeah, a bit random, but it was unbelievable, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know which one you were thinking.
Yeah.
Roy, but he got sent off like straight after it, though.
Yeah.
But that was a wet game, wasn't it?
Lewis, can I ask you a question before we move on to the quiz? Can you just give us a quick score prediction update?
Yes,
2 weeks.
I can. We got a couple of weeks to catch up on.
Done well.
So, Theo.
Yes, sir. So as Roy places his thing
over the couple of weeks that we're catching up with, you scored an overall 11.
Ooh, okay.
Which, if you're thinking if that's good or not, it's all right. Reeve.
Yeah. Have I done okay?
You. I've got 14 points.
Yes!
Rescued, absolutely rescued by a prediction yesterday on a certain 4-1 win.
4-1
at Arsenal Palace?
Yeah, I called it.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's jammy.
That was the only correct score.
Did I not get any predictions right?
Yeah, got correct results, but no correct scores.
Are you sure?
That was the only correct score. I'm positive.
Are you sure? From the 2 weeks.
We'll do VAR after the pod.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
But, so the overall scores now, Reeve, you sit on 121 points. And Theo Baker.
Still ahead though, isn't he?
127.
Seven still ahead.
120.
And
no,
I gained three.
Six ahead.
Six ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
It's quite tight.
All to play for as we head into the end. Should we do the quiz?
The losers.
Yeah, go on.
I'm not looking forward to this whole. Well, hopefully I don't have to do
you
it.
You know, if we. Can we dress up as Antonio Conte instead of a Spurs kit?
I'd love his hair transplant.
All right, can I get buzzer noises, please?
Oh, is it a buzzer quiz?
It's always a buzzer quiz, man. You're always buzzing now, yeah.
Saka!
Thank you.
Dorking.
Oh.
Great video, by the way.
Thank you.
That was what I was alluding to at the start, but
yeah.
Thanks for the support.
That was top notch.
Thank you.
That's good, champs.
Yeah.
It's called champ.
Unacceptable.
Lovely. So we know the crack, you buzz in, and once you've had your guess, you can't guess until everyone else has had one guess.
Okie dokie.
Tom's right here, it's going to be fucking
pretty
great.
Cool.
Right, question number one. If Ollie Watkins scores, he'll become the first Englishman to score 10 plus goals.
Dorking, Jamie Vardy.
No. In three consecutive seasons for Villa, since who?
I know who it is.
Say British.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, Englishman.
I know who it is.
Gabriel Bonhoeffer.
Yes, sir.
Oh, so easy, man.
Good job. That was
so easy.
That was very good, actually.
Oh, I should have just not been a cocky bastard there.
Second question. James Maddison could have become only the second Premier League player to score in five straight trips to London while playing for a team outside the capital. After who?
Question.
Oh, okay.
Take that
so
again.
So a player that's played outside of London has scored in five consecutive matches playing against a team in London.
Only the second Premier League player to score in five straight trips to London while playing for a team outside of the capital.
Unacceptable. Salah?
No.
Dorkin. Aguero?
No.
Saka.
No.
Rashford.
No. Everyone back in.
Oh.
Can we get a clue?
Did you say Saka?
I can give you a clue.
Wait, what? Yeah, give us the year.
I can give you. That was the clue.
The clue is the year.
So it was between 2002 and 2003.
Oh, Germany cricket.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that. I actually am too.
Dorking. Michael Owen.
No.
Saka. Van Nistelrooy.
Yes!
Well played.
Good one.
Yes. Well played.
Nice, man. Thanks, proud
man.
Of you, man. That's
thanks
a nice
for,
one.
Thanks, bro.
You're really masculine as well.
So are you.
Right, before this weekend...
A lot of people said about it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Before this week, past weekend, or even including this past weekend, Leeds have won on both occasions when they've started the day in the relegation zone. Who have they beaten in the other two occasions?
Saka. Brentford. And... Palace.
No, on both.
Oh.
I've literally no idea. No idea.
I thought Brentford was correct.
No idea. That's not a not a clue. Dorking. Palace and Man United.
No.
Is it for this season?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm wrong.
Unacceptable. Liverpool and Villa?
One right with Liverpool. One team left out there.
Ah, Dorking. Southampton and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Cheers.
Good shit.
Cool.
Right.
Cool. You get one each.
Yeah, I want it.
Nice.
Okie dokie then.
What?
You're too casual when you say the right answer, even when you say it's correct. You're like, yeah. Oh, cool.
It's just surprised you got it right, that's why.
Yeah. I'll really hype it up now.
Okay, right, okay.
What landmark...
Yeah, flip the table. It's dreaming.
What landmark is Son close to achieving?
Who?
Son.
Son. What landmark
is close Dorking. To achieving? The most assists at Tottenham Hotspur.
No.
Oh, that's not a bad call, though.
Interesting call, yeah.
Can I reword it? Can I reword it? 100 assists at Tottenham Hotspur.
No.
Okay.
Saka. Oh, well, I'll say my buzzer. Saka. Scoring as many... Goals with both feet, with the most goals with both feet in Premier League history.
No, it's an interesting angle. I like that. It's good.
Unacceptable. The most games for a South Korean in England without winning a trophy.
Do you know what? You're probably right with that.
Dorking. The most assists to a single player.
No.
Oh, that's a good shout as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you going to give us a clue before?
I was going to give you a clue, and you get a clue because you get a clue after the first round.
All right.
There's not really a clue. You're just getting very... It's not as specific as you're going. It's quite... a lot of people have hit this landmark.
Unacceptable.
Oh.
I got it. I've got it. Dorking.
Wait,
Dorking.
No, you're right. Yes.
I know what it is.
Well, I don't know it now.
I know what it is.
Most appearances for a South Korean.
No, Dorking. Dorking.
It's my goal.
It's my goal.
Saka. Is it 100 Prem goals?
Yeah.
You are correct, sir!
Oh, so we overthought it, basically.
You're correct. Yeah, you're getting very... I liked it, though. You're probably right with your...
I reckon that's right, by the way. Someone fact-check that.
Yeah, well, who else would do it?
Jason Park.
Well, there's Jason Park.
He won, though. Didn't he?
So in terms of games played without winning, unless there's some rogue... South Korean.
Yeah.
That's played for like a team that I don't know.
Bonus question.
The audio levels after going
crazy. Crazy. Right, bonus question. Before this past weekend, it had been just over a month after Palace last scored in the league. Who scored that goal?
Dorking.
Oh, Saka.
Oh, Dorking.
Go on.
That was me.
Yeah, it was you.
It was you.
Elise.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Wait, yeah, it was.
I know what you're thinking.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
You're thinking of the free kick against United, right?
No?
I think they scored more recently.
Oh, mate. Who is
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure about that.
Oh, I know what it is. Eze's header.
Yes, sir. Well done.
Thanks.
Couldn't be bothered to get my injury.
I didn't even do my buzzer. Saka, Eze's header.
Nice.
Ah, you didn't
get
buzzer.
Did you see it there?
Oh. Could have saved
it. I did again.
Dorking.
An absolute pleasure as always, Rawls. Thanks for coming on.
Pleasure was all mine.
Like Rawls talks football.
Rawls.
Yeah, I don't think we'll rebrand to it, but
yeah.
Rawls.
You never called a person called Rory Rawls.
Rawls. No, he does this all the time. He called me T.
He calls you T.
And he'll call Chip like
well, I call him Lou.
Yeah, that Lou's a normal abbreviation. T.
Yeah. L-Dog.
L-Dog.
Walking L.
Yeah. The man with the big L.
You call me Elbow.
What?
Lewis Borden, Elbow.
Well, that's a punch, mate. That's not a... Well, that's another
Is that recording?
Yeah.
Mate, you've actually just clocked yourself in a face.
I think I just...
I expect to see that tonight on TikTok.
Your tongue is bleeding a little bit.
I think I've got... I taste blood.
You've actually
just knocked yourself
down.
He actually just hit himself in the head. What?
Trying to end the podcast.
What a wally. Guys, if you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to drop a like and subscribe. We're road to 200,000 subscribers.
Yes.
Make sure you rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yeah, another thank you once again. Next week's obviously an international break, sadly.
Ugh.
But we'll be back with another pod and all that good stuff. Thanks for coming on, Rory, and we'll speak to you all again soon. Bye.